Good morning, High Point Church, and welcome to Thursday Morning Healing School here at High Point. We also want to welcome those of you who normally attend Healing School with us, but who do not worship here. And we just are so glad that everyone can be in attendance this morning the way we're doing it. And we are convinced that the anointing is going forth here today, just like it would if this place were packed. And so we want to go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, I just thank you that even though we're apart, in you we're one. And though we may be distant, in you we're together. So Holy Spirit, we look to you this morning to teach us, to share with us these things that you want us to know today, so that we might walk in the abundance of health. And Father, I also ask that we be built up today so that we might go minister healing mercies, showing compassion to others that you've placed inside of us. So Holy Spirit, we just declare today we're going to be washed with the water of the Word. When we leave here, we're going to be changed, and we look forward to all you're going to do, Father. Manifest yourself today. Manifest yourself where the people are sitting and watching and listening. Make healings today. Just begin to pop like popcorn in a popcorn popper all over Middle Georgia area as we look to you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the cross and what you did for us, Jesus. And it's in your name we say, Amen. So be it. Last two times that I've had the opportunity to teach Healing School, we've been talking about blood covenant and how God took blood covenant and He made it a way to not only communicate with man, but He also made it the way that He's going to commit Himself, and I would add all of heaven, to support the words of the covenant. Those terms and agreements that you may have heard Pastor Robert talk about last night. And so I understand that a lot of times blood covenant, we're not as comfortable with it. And that's what I believe the Lord is trying to do in us today, is to teach us how He views covenant so we can see it from His perspective. In doing this, He's making everything available to us through His covenant. Now, we've not only been talking about covenant, but we've been looking at a word, hesed, spelled C-H-E-S-E-D, if we want to write it in a format in English. And it's a word that is translated most often mercy. It's also translated goodness. It's translated kindness, loving kindness, and a number of other things. And what we began to see in recent weeks is there's no one word that really encompasses everything that hesed means today. And so let me read you a description that I wrote years ago. It's not a definition, but it's after my study. I tried to write it in New Testament terms. I've read it to you before, but I want to remind us of it, and I don't think we can do this too often. So it's the Father's nature of being ever faithful with a limitless love that gives and gives. And again, He's giving not because He has to, but because He wants to. Lavishly, He's going to pour it out upon us. It's also keeping me from what I deserve, which we would call mercy, and giving me way above and beyond that which I don't deserve. And that's obviously His grace. And this is the covenant we live in, the new covenant of His grace. There's also a constant pursuit on His part of showing us and allowing us to partake of His goodness. That's why in the 23rd Psalm, it talks about that His goodness and mercy, or His goodness and loving kindness, shall do what? Shall follow me. But that follow is a pursuing you so that He can lavish it upon you. Again, His nature. And then finally, there's an unlimited ability on His part to deliver to you and I what He has promised us. And then we have a role in that too, obviously, is in believing it. Now, healing is one of the covenant promises that we have. Many times in the Old Testament and many, many more in the New Testament, we see healing. And I'm not just talking about spiritual healing. That is very important. It's basic. But you have been spiritually healed as you were made righteous. And if you don't understand that, then I would urge you to tune in on the last two Wednesday night sessions that Pastor Robert's teaching, because that's what he's instructing us in, that part of the work has already been made done in us when we truly believe and receive Jesus as our Lord. So we're talking not just again about spiritual, but about physical in our body, as well as those things that come against us in our soul, our mind, emotion, and that those things too were taken care of on the cross of Christ. Now last week we got into talking about hope, and we saw that we can hope in His mercy. We saw numerous verses about that. And as a believer, we ought to never be without hope. And you say, well, why can that be? Well, what did Jesus promise us? That He would never leave us or forsake us. Never. And a lot of times, that's solely my focus. But we saw last week that not only does He never leave us or forsake us, but when we were born again, we received an anointing. His anointing. We were born again by the same Spirit that raised Him up. And so we have that same anointing that He has. Let's look at, as you're turning, Luke 4. And I want to confess this, but let me remind you about the anointing. We talked last week about Elisha and the woman who had lost her husband who was a prophet, and her sons were about to be taken into slavery to pay back the debt. And Elisha, she went to Elisha and said, I need help. And what did he say? What do you have in your house? Now, I tell this account because in the Old Testament, oil represented the anointing. They would literally pour it over their head. And so she responded in this manner, I don't have anything except a small jar of oil. A flask is actually what she said. The prophet gave her instructions as to what to do. And what did we see? As long as her expectations were up, and her expectations had to be up to go get what? Many, many pots or containers. And she brought all those in. And as long as she poured, I like to say it this way, the anointing provided. And it will do the same for you and I today. But we've got to expect it to work. And one of the ways we do it is confess that we are anointed. So here in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, I want us to confess this together. We did this for many weeks at Healing School, and we did it last week. And so if you would at home, please, look at the screen so that we're speaking the same translation. And let's go through this together, speaking this word over ourselves. And don't you sit there and say, yeah, but that was Jesus. You've been placed in Him. You've been recreated in His image. So these same things apply to you and I today. You ready? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a charge, this is the anointing that resides in you. Now, what did this anointing do for Jesus? Well, we see in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good. Now, the doing good shouldn't surprise us. Good, or goodness, is actually one of the translations, so it's like a synonym for the word hesed. So Jesus went about doing good. He went about displaying God on the earth, doing good deeds. But it also says He went about doing good and healing, which is Healing School appropriate, all those who were oppressed by the devil. And then there's this little phrase, because the Lord was with him, or in the Lord was with him. That anointing that's on him, even today, that was on him as he walked this earth, that same anointing is with you and I. And you say, well, I don't feel powerful. Well, Scripture tells us that we've been anointed with fresh oil, and that our strength is like that. Our horn has been exalted, which is saying our strength is like that of a ram with those huge horns that they butt heads. And the tremendous power and forces that are exerted. That's what's living in you and I. And then we culminated last week talking about Isaiah, the 10th chapter, the 27th verse. So it would be in that day that His burden shall be removed from your shoulders. And this is talking about our day now. And His yoke of our enemy from your neck, and the yoke is not just going to be removed. I want you to see this. The yoke will be broken, and it says because of the fatness, but I would say because of the anointing, which is the way the King James Version actually says it. Because of the anointing. So we saw that we've been anointed to receive what God has provided through His covenant, which includes our healing. But we've also, and this is really important for us in healing school, we just don't want to teach, come in here to receive your healing. We want you to know how to minister it to yourself, and we want you to know how to minister it to others. So those are the things that we are trying to accomplish here, and that's what the anointing provides for you and I. So today I want to continue in that vein, and I want to talk about covenant compassion. The word hesed is most often translated mercy, and it's translated loving kindness. So given that fact, I want to go back and we're going to start just exploring that word more, looking at some New Testament verses as well as some Old Testament to see how these two relate, how compassion is related to His hesed, which is related to His love. So look with me at 1 John, the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Now let me just stop right there. A lot of people will say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But I'm going to tell you, this kind of love that we're going to be talking about today is only available for you to give away when you've been born again. It is not in man's condition to love the way we're going to talk about loving, with love that doesn't expect anything in return. So continuing in verse 7, and everyone who is born of God and knows God. So love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And then verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God. And then it says this phrase, for God is love. God doesn't have love. We don't see His love growing or increasing or waning when we miss it. We don't see it changing because of how we act. He doesn't change in His love for us. God is love. Now, it even seems strange to be able to teach about God being love and try to do it in one session. But that's the magnitude. That is who He is. That is His entire nature is permeated by His love. And so we must understand that's who He is, foundational. Now, let's tie this to the word hesed that we've been talking about. Hesed actually means kindness. It's also translated loving kindness. And so what do we see? A link between His kindness and His love. And that's why hesed is so multifaceted that it takes a lot of words or a lot of descriptors to adequately explain how he operates. So as we say He is love, we can also say, and you're going to see this even more clearly, He is hesed. Now, to see how God Himself talked about this, I want you to go with me to Exodus, the 34th chapter. Now, in Exodus 34, Moses has said to the Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord basically says to him, okay, I'm going to make all of my goodness pass in front of you. Now, that word goodness there is not a word, is not the word hesed. It's another word that means the same thing. But He says, I'm going to make all my goodness pass in front of you. And you can't look at me, but I'm going to let you see my backside. So the glory of the Lord encompasses His goodness, His very nature, who He is. So He tells Moses how He's going to protect him in the rock, put His hand over him so that no harm will come to him. And then I want you to look down. Well, let me read one verse to you before I go to this one. And when He says, when I walk by you, He says, I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show compassion to who I'll show compassion. So there's two words that He used that we haven't really talked about before, compassion and gracious. Now I want you to go down in the 5th verse of chapter 34, and let's see what the Lord said as He came by him. And I want you to see this as this is the Lord describing Himself to you and I. This is how He sees Himself. Now, I make that point because this is how we must see Him in order to be able to fully receive. So the Lord passed by in front of him, talking about Moses, and the Lord proclaimed this. The Lord God. He said His name, and He said it again, Jehovah El. And then look at what the next two words are. Now, in King James, it says merciful, but here in what we're looking at, the New American Standard that I'm teaching from today, it says compassionate. So the Lord describes Himself as compassionate and gracious. He then says He's slow to anger, and He abounds in loving kindness. That happens to be the word hesed. So He's abounding in loving kindness, and not only that, He's abounding in truth. He is truth. That again, He's as much truth as He is love. Now, He keeps on then, and in verse 7, He goes on and says, who keeps, King James says mercy, New American Standard again says loving kindness in verse 7. So He keeps loving kindness for thousands. That word is hesed, and He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. So those different words are how the Lord would describe Himself, His very nature. So let me talk about a couple of them, merciful and gracious. Merciful and gracious is what King James, New King James says, and then New American Standard says compassionate and gracious. The word that's translated merciful and compassionate is not hesed. It is the Hebrew word R-A-C-H-U-M. And the definition of that word is simply compassionate. It's translated full of compassion, and it's also translated merciful. Now let me show you another example of it. Psalm 86, verse 15. In Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God. And then look at how the Holy Spirit now. This is the Holy Spirit inspiring this psalm to be written. How the Holy Spirit describes the Father. Merciful and gracious. Slow to anger. And abundant in loving kindness and truth. So we see these over and over again. So what we're taking away from this is the word hesed that is used in each of these verses multiple times in the first one that we looked at. It can literally mean merciful, or a synonym would be compassion or compassionate. So they're interchangeable. And then there's this other word, gracious. And the word gracious comes from a Hebrew word which means to show favor, or literally to stoop as if I'm going to bend down to pick up something for you to make it easy for you. And that's the nature of the Lord. That's how He sees Himself. So again, all of these really tie back to loving kindness, or what we would say, hesed, as we've been studying. Now, if you're saying, well, yeah, all that was Old Testament. Yeah, it is true. But there's also a word in the New Testament, E-L-E-E-O, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I've tried for 2 days and it doesn't come out sounding like what I'm listening to. And it is defined as compassionate. But guess what it's also translated? Compassion and mercy. So what we're seeing here is that a lot of these words that are used in putting together this portrait of what hesed is are very similar. They carry a lot of the same connotations, and I think we can use a lot of them interchangeably. Now, why is this important to you and I? Because we're going to be talking about compassion today, and I want to look at three scriptures and then we'll answer that question. Psalm 145, and we're going to look at this in the New King James, verses 8 and 9. Let me read it to you first in New American Standard, and then we'll look at it in New King James. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. And then verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over, they're above all His works. Now in the New King James, it reads this way, The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Full of compassion. Slow to anger and great in mercy. And then it says, very similar to what we saw in New American Standard, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Now, what that's saying is everything that He does, these are the things that caused Him to act that way. Now look at the book of James. We'll look at a New Testament. Verse 11, James 5, verse 11. We count those blessed who endured. You've heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the outcomes of the Lord's dealings. And what were those outcomes? How did the Lord demonstrate Himself? He did it that the Lord is what? Full of compassion and is merciful. So we see these roll together again. Now let's look at Hebrews 2. And we'll look at one phrase in verse 17, or I'm just going to read it to you. This actually refers to Jesus, if you'll look down right in the middle of it, so that He, talking about Jesus, might become a merciful and faithful high priest. This is His role today towards you and I. So we've seen in these three verses that God is love. We've seen Him, His graciousness mentioned. We've talked about His goodness, His abounding in loving kindness, His mercifulness. And what I want to say to you today is these words don't just describe what God can do. These words describe His goodness, what He longs to do for you, what He yearns from His innermost being to do for you. We might say this is His passion to do these things that we're about to be talking about with healing for you. And so we need to see the Lord. This is His nature. This is how He wants to act to you and I, to just pour this abundance on us over and over and over. And really, the key part of this is that you don't just see that this is His passion, or this is His nature, or this is His yearning. The key part of this is that you see it, that this is His nature towards you. It's got to be that personal. And we're going to see this some more as we go through and look at a few more scriptures. These attributes, I believe, are really what move Him to act in accordance with His covenant on our behalf. His passions toward us just being provided over and over in His covenant. So let's look at a few verses that look at compassion and covenant love in action. So go with me to Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15. Now, a lot of these teachings, we're not going to go through every verse and teach it in depth, and this is one of those cases. So what are we looking for today? We're talking about covenant compassion, the compassion that shows us who He is, not only who He is, but what He wants and wills and desires to do for you and I. This is the account of the prodigal son. And we're going to start in verse 20. So you know the account. The son has come to his father. He's said, "Give me what's mine." He left. He squandered it all. He was living with pigs, eating some of the pigs' food. So guess what he must have smelled like? And he comes to his senses one day and said, "Man, my dad's servants have it better." And so he heads back to his father. And we're going to pick up in verse 20. And what we're looking for is the attitude of the father toward his son, because this really displays the attitude of our heavenly Father towards you and I. So the young boy says in verse 20, he got up and he came to his father. But then this next phrase says, but while he was still a long way off. Now, what does that indicate to you? That this father was looking for his son to come home. His heart's desire, his passion, was that his son would come home. So he was yearning for that to occur. And then it says, when he was looking for him, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Compassion will allow us to see people with a different set of eyes than these physical eyes. It's going to cause you to see them and have a love that God's placed in your heart for them. And this is just like the Father is with you and I. So he saw him. Now, when he saw him, what does it say next? That he felt compassion for him. Literally, the Hebrew just says, he saw him, or excuse me, the Greek, he saw him, compassion. He saw him in compassion. And then what did the compassion do? It motivated him to act. Look at what he did. He ran to him. He embraced him, smelling like pigs and all. And yet we think if we miss it and have a little stink in our life, we can't run back to the Father. See how this Father just totally embraced him. And he kissed him. And the Son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Do you see in this next verse as we read it, I want you to see, the Father didn't even respond to him. He wasn't looking for someone to come back as the Son thought and be a servant. Verse 22, but the Father said to his servants, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Do you reckon that robe was the robe of righteousness that said, Son, here's my best robe. Everything between you and I is okay. There's nothing in between us anymore. It's back restored to the way we were in the beginning. And then it says, and he put a ring in his hand. I believe that's signifying he's giving him authority again, which we have on this earth today when we accept the Lord. And that's a whole nother teaching. And he put sandals on his feet and he said, bring the fatted calf, kill it and let us eat and be merry. Now this next verse I think is a key one. Look at what he said. For this son of mine was dead and he has come to life again. He was lost and he's been found. And they began to be merry. That's the same joy. Motivated by what? By his compassion for you and I that the Father has when we as believers miss it but turn back to him. It's the same joy that he has when those who haven't been born from above come to him that first time. He's not looking for servants. He's looking for sons. Now we're going to serve because of the love we have for him. But first and foremost, we must see ourselves as sons who are desired and wanted by the Father. Now, as I go through this one and go through some of the rest of these, I want you to remember the description we gave of Hesed. So let me just remind you of that once more. Being ever faithful with the limitless love that gives and gives. Gives because he wants to, doesn't have to. Keeping me from what I deserve, giving me way above and beyond what I don't deserve, constantly pursuing, showing, and allowing me to partake of his goodness. And the Father has an unlimited ability to deliver on his covenant promises. So let's today, for the rest of the time we have together in Healing School, begin to look at New Testament verses. And we're going to look at Jesus, compassion personified, compassion put in men's flesh here on this earth. So go to Matthew 20 with me. And this is a verse that we actually used 2 weeks ago as we were talking about can I cry out in mercy in faith. So in chapter 20, in verse 29, they were going out from Jericho and a great multitude was following Jesus. Verse 30, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out and said, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. So they were referring to Son of David as Jesus being the Messiah, the one who was coming, promised in covenant, with that covenant loving kindness. And the multitude sternly told them to be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. And we talked 2 weeks ago that those cries of mercy, those cries to Messiah, caused Jesus to stop. And he called to them in verse 32 and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. And as we look at verse 34, notice what moved Jesus. And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes and immediately regained their sight. Immediately they regained their sight and they began to follow him. So what was it that caused the power that was resided in Jesus to flow from him to them? They asked for it, sure. But what do we learn here? Compassion rose up on the inside of Jesus. And that's when the power flowed. Now go with me to the book of Mark, the first chapter. And this is one of my favorite of the 25 healing accounts that we see in the New Testament of Jesus. And don't ask me how many favorites I have of that 25, but this is near the top. So we want to start here in verse 40. And a leper. Now a leper was separated out. I like to say it this way. They were really half dead. They couldn't live with their family. They were separated. They couldn't do their normal job, their normal work. So this person, breaking law, came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him. So he came and he humbled himself, I would say. And look at what he said to Jesus. If you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing. Now, let's just think about what he's saying here. I know you can. I'm just not sure you will. So let me today talk about it a little differently, what he might have really been saying. I know you can, but I don't know if you'll have compassion on me. I don't know if you're going to be merciful to me. I don't know if you're going to be gracious to me. That's really the essence, because he said, I know you can, I just don't know your want to toward me. So he did not know and understand what compassion Jesus really had for him. Now, look at verse 41, and I want to just read this first phrase, and then we'll talk about this word compassion. And moved with compassion. Now, and those words, are not in there. It's just compassion. And the word for compassion that is used here in the Greek, I'm not going to try to pronounce it again. It's 14 letters. And it literally means spleen. It implies to have the bowels yearn for. In those days, they believed that the bowels, your very inward being, is where the seat of your emotions and your love came from. It can mean to feel sympathy for or to pity. And it's translated, have compassion and be moved with compassion. But it really means, as we've seen, much, much more. Where does it start? It's really talking about to know that covenant love that God has placed, I'll say, in us, or that this man is looking to Jesus to have, and to yearn for that covenant love to produce what he needs in his life at the moment, which is healing from leprosy. So it's that yearning that comes forth. So it's much, much more than just feeling sorry for someone. It's having sympathy for him. It's having that compassion for him. But you know, as you look at someone with the compassion that Jesus is looking at him with, that you carry something that he needs and you're able to give it to him. That's the very nature of the Father. And that's the nature that's been put in you and I. So when we see someone, as Jesus is encountering this man today, we ought to have that same compassion rise up in us to want to give him what we possess, that anointing, and bring healing to his body, to their body. Now, here again, it says, and moved with compassion in verse 41. And I would say the compassion moved him to act. Well, look what he did. He stretched out his hand and touched it. Now, under the law, that was forbidden. Because if you touch someone who was a leper, you are also declared unclean. But Jesus didn't see it that way. He saw, I have something he needs. And instead of Jesus becoming unclean, what happened? He touched him and he said to him, I am willing. One translation says, of course I will. I would simply say, what do you mean? That's my nature. That's what compassion is. That's who I am. And immediately the man was healed. So the unclean became clean as Jesus let that compassion flow to him. Now, before we're too hard on this guy and we say, you know, he really wasn't coming in faith. He had a great hope, a desire. I admire him for coming. He did it the right way, humbling himself, not demanding. And I would say this, this is often where I think we find ourselves today. You know that God has power. In fact, look at Ephesians 1, the 19th verse with me. But you know God has power. You're just not sure sometimes. And you might use words like this, do I really deserve it? Do I really merit it? Does he want to give this to me, given all that I've done? And what we're saying when we say that is we don't fully appreciate the compassion of the Lord upon us. Now I go to this verse because this verse is in a prayer that Paul is praying for you and I. And it says, and what is the surpassing? Let me just back up. Can we back up to 18? Or did she put just that one? That's fine. Let me just tell you, in the previous verse, he's saying that he's praying for us to come to know what the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. That's you and I. That's how he sees us, as something that is glorious, so that we'll know the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, which is you and I. Now let's go to 19. And to know what is the surpassing greatness of his power. Now in my Bible, it stops on the page right at power. And that's a good breaking point for us. Because we read this verse and we say, yes, the surpassing greatness of his power. We magnify God because of that power. But let's look at what the next few verses say. Next few words say. What is the magnitude or surpassing greatness of that power toward us who believe? Do you see that unless you focus in on those last four words, that power that is available, amplified, says for us and in us, to us, into, in us and into us. Do you see that if we put all of our emphasis on that power, that surpassing greatness of that power, we're doing the same thing and we're saying the same thing that the leper was just saying. My imploring you and I today that we see that his power is available only because you and I need it. Now that's a simplification, I realize. But it's that nature he has to want us to partake of that power. And his power is always going to be available. We just need to have more faith in his want to, or as much faith in his want to, as we do in his power. And the want to is not just that he wants to. It's that he wants to toward me. That's when we can begin to say with certainty, by his stripes, I am healed. And we rest in it. We don't fight. We don't say it trying to make ourselves feel like it. We're living it. We're acting it. And it's all about his hesed, his love for you and I. Now let's look at some more. Go to Matthew 14. In the 14th chapter of Matthew, Herod has just killed Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. And Jesus retreated. So verse 13, if we can pick up there, says, now when Jesus heard of it, John being killed, he withdrew there in a boat to a lonely place by himself, just like most of us would desire to do. But what happened? When the multitudes heard of it, they followed him on foot. They went around to where he was. And then we get to verse 14, and it says, and when he went ashore, he saw a great multitude. So I want you to see again this connection between this word compassion that we're about to read and seeing. Don't see those as separate. He saw a great multitude, and again it just says compassion in the original language. He felt compassion for them. And because he felt compassion for those he saw, he did what? He acted, and what happened? He healed them. Anyone who came to him. was healed. So here we see again, compassion compelling Jesus to perform healing at a time when emotionally he maybe didn't want to. But that compassion will overcome the emotions that we're going through individually and cause us to focus ourselves on others, not ourselves. And that's just what happened here. Every time I see compassion in the New Testament, something miraculous happens. Now Jesus, what did we see? He went about doing good and healing. So here we have the healing. But in the next few verses, I want you to see that same compassion compelled him to do good. Look at verse 15. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "This place is desolate and the time is already past, so send them away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." You know, I really wonder how compassionate they were. Were they saying this to say, "Look, Jesus, it's late. Would you please send them away so we can get some rest and get something to eat?" Or was it compassion? But I want to read this in this context. Jesus had gone ashore. I'm reading back in 14. We don't have to go there. He saw a great multitude and he felt compassion for them. And he said to his disciples, in verse 16, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." Do you see that compassion, where power flows from, that causes him to act? He's telling his disciples here, they can do this same thing. And I believe this instruction is still available for us today. When we don't see that we have the ability to do good, no matter what we're talking about, when we're walking fully in his compassion, that compassion, which is coming from the anointing in us, will bring it about, just as we talked about last week. Every time he was moved with compassion, something happened. On a personal note, and I've shared this before in healing school, but I think it's worth saying again. It's been right at 10 years ago. I was in prayer one day, just being honest with the Lord about some things I was seeing and some things I wasn't seeing. And I said, "Lord, my heart's desire is to see more of the miraculous." And this is the response I got from the Lord. When you will see people with the same compassion that Jesus did, you won't have to ask for miracles. Now, I understood, I thought, what he was saying. But even in these recent weeks, as I've been teaching covenant and studying Hesed and immersing myself now for 6 to 9 months in this, I'm seeing that there's more that I could have and should be doing. We don't look at people just as a person. When we look at them as from the eyes of Jesus, with the same compassion that he did, because that same love has been shed abroad in our hearts, then it causes me to see people that I would normally overlook. It causes me to be motivated to deliver to them, not what I have of my own, but what I have because that great power is available for and through me for others. So I'm beginning to see a clarity in this, that how I need to look, not just at my brothers and sisters in the Lord, but how I need to look at everyone. And so let's look at a couple of more instances then. Luke 7, the 11th chapter. Now this is when he raises a young man up from the dead in the city of Nain. So he's gone to a city called Nain. I know it doesn't look that way, but that's the way it's pronounced. And his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. So you got Jesus with masses coming at him, thousands maybe. And the next verse says, "Now as they approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a sizable crowd from the city was with her." Now, I don't see this as the mother was leading the procession or that Jesus. I see the people were all around them, and it was not easy going for both of them. And then look at this phrase, "when the Lord saw her." Now this makes me think of Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful. They saw the guy who was lame, been there. I imagine they walked by him dozens, if not hundreds of times on the way to prayer. But this time, the compassion of the Lord Now they were anointed with the fullness of the Spirit, rose up in Peter and John, and they saw and they delivered to them, such as I have, I possess, I'm giving it to you. Compassion flowing. And this is the same thing that happened to Jesus. When the Lord saw her, compassion rose up in him for her. And he said to her, do not weep. Verse 14. And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And then he spoke, how we rule. Young man, I say to you, arise. And I really like this next verse. Now, this translation says, the dead man sat up. Literally in the Greek, it says, the corpse sat up. That blesses me. Jesus spoke life, and the dead became alive. So what does compassion? Compassion caused this young man to be raised up from the dead. Now this is special to me because I can see Jesus knowing what's coming in months for him, the cross. And what I want you to see is that he too was depending on the compassion of his Father when he gave up his life for you and I. He was trusting in that covenant love, that covenant compassion for his Father to have that same action and raise him up from the dead. Man, again, Jesus says the Father loves you and I just like he loves him. Why would we think that he's a respecter of persons? He loves us just the same as he did as his Son. His compassion will not allow him to be a respecter of persons. Look at Luke 10. Now, as you're sitting there at home, I want you to be ready for it when we're about to pray, because we're going to speak and act out of our bowels, out of our yearning for compassion, just the way we see Jesus here. This is the account of the Good Samaritan. And I'm just going to read three verses from it. Now, I take that back, four. So we'll start in verse 30. And a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. And they stripped him, and they beat him, and they went off leaving him half dead. There's that phrase, half dead again. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on that road, and he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. Can I just say to you, the law in and of itself couldn't help this man. Just being harsh and being under the law couldn't help him. And then it says, and by chance, a Levite, also, when he came to the place where he was, he passed by on the other side. And so think of all the hundreds, thousands, if not multiple millions of sacrifices. These Levites were the ones who performed that work in the temple. And that didn't even help him. But then it says a certain Samaritan, someone who was not from that area, who was on a journey, came upon him. Now, I like the way the Amplified Bible says it here. It says, he came down to where he was. And isn't that exactly what Jesus did himself? Jesus himself, compassion himself, came down to where you and I live so that he could identify with us, take on our sin on the cross, and then give us his resurrected nature, full of this same love and full of this same compassion that dwells in us. And then you know the rest of the account. What did he do? He bound him up and took him on, told the innkeeper, I'll be back in 2 days, gave him 2 days' wages. And yes, I know a day is as a thousand years, and so I'm expecting Jesus to come back any day now. But while he is, we're told to occupy. In one translation, I like says it better, I think. It says, be engaged. That's what I want to do. I want to be engaged doing what Jesus did. You say, well, that's a lofty goal. Or are you prideful? No, I'm not prideful. In fact, I'll tell you, it takes more humility to say, I can do the things of Jesus because I know I can't in and of myself. It takes me fully submitting to him to be able to say that. Now, just so that you see that this is our job, go to Matthew 9, and this is our next to last scripture. Matthew 9, 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. In other words, he's declaring the goodness of who he is, He's declaring the goodness of the kingdom and what we have in this covenant relationship. And healing came forth because he was acting in the compassion of the Lord. And then in the next verse, it explains why that's happened. Now, we read this verse, 36, as separate from 35. But I think this is a verse that connects 35 to 37. And so see it that way. He saw these people with what? And he felt compassion for them. When they were sick, when they didn't know about the good news of him, when they didn't understand the work of the kingdom, they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus acted then and proclaimed and healed. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. And that's what we ought to be doing. Now I say that because when you read the next verse, verse 37, then he said to his disciples, and I'm going to say, I believe that same compassion was still operating in him, when he spoke this to his disciples. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. What I want you to see is that his compassion is what has given us our assignment. Now you say, well, how could that be? Well, in the next chapter, he sent the 12 out. The Lord of the harvest is calling you and I. This is our assignment. Go out with the same compassion that he has, that he did. And walk in that loving kindness. Walk in the fullness of that and begin to minister his healing to him, to them. Moved with compassion. The very last verse, Psalm 40, verse 11. And then we want to pray for you. And today we're not just going to pray for you. I want you to be praying for others that you know. You, Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Say that outside. Say that outside. Say it aloud with me. Say it outside of yourself. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. This is the confidence. This is the assurance that we have today. So as we close today, I just want you not just focusing on yourself, but I want you to let compassion begin to rise up in you for others that you know need. And we're going to be, I believe, like Job today. As we talk about compassion and we begin to focus on others, not just ourselves, we're going to see what we need manifest together. So, Father, right now we come to you and we just decree we are your children, we are your sons, and we are worthy of everything that you've made us worthy for. Not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus did. So we give thanks to you, for you are good, and your chesed, your hesed, dwells in us forever and ever. It endures forever, and it's working in us today. So Father, right now, I just pray for the people who are listening. And I just speak to digestive systems, and I say you operate. You operate properly. No reflux and no problem getting rid of the waste. You operate as you were designed. I speak to diabetes and I say you are done away with in Jesus' name. You are done away with in Jesus' name. I see hips and I see knees and I see pain in them. So I just, out of the compassion of my heart for those who are suffering with that, Lord, I just declare healing in them right now. The very power of God at work. In fact, I also see someone with a hand kind of withered up, maybe arthritis. And you're saying, I wish that something could happen to me. I just say to you, stretch forth your hand. Let the compassion of God work towards you. Receive it. See him as wanting to do it. His very nature, as we talked about earlier. Stretch forward that hand. Muscle cramps. somebody's suffering with muscle cramps, you're having them too often. And I just hear the Lord saying, if you'll ask me, I'll show you what's causing it, but I'll get rid of it right now. So we just speak to those things and we let the compassion of God flow. And we just call those things healing, healed and whole. And then I also perceive that there's some folks who are sitting there saying, but I'm not worthy to receive it. That's not me. I just can't see myself. Very quick story. Brother Hagin talking about a vision he had where he was taken into heaven. As soon as he came to Jesus, he fell at his feet. Jesus told him, get up. He said, I'm not worthy to get up. Jesus said, I said, get up, for I've made you worthy. That's my word to you right now. You've been made worthy. It's not of your own work, but you've been made worthy. And all these torments that you're having in your thinking, all these thoughts that are coming against you, you have the compassion of God working in that anointing that dwells in you. You speak to them and they must leave now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if there's others that you know that maybe are experiencing some of the things that we called out, or especially those who don't see themselves as being worthy, pray about sharing this teaching. Let that be part of your evangelism so that they can hear the same good news that we have, that we are loved by God, for He is good and His hesed endures, working for us forever. So Father, we give You praise and glory. We said we would not leave here as we came today. So I thank You that we've each been changed. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We give You praise and honor and glory.